Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody. This is Steve Long. I'm author of There's a Somebody, and we're going to do something a little bit different today, and that is have a roundtable discussion. And one of the members of my critique group came up with the idea or the suggestion that if you're looking for a critique group, if you want to improve your writing, you really need to get feedback from somebody. And I think even professional writers don't do it on their own. So we're just going to sit around here, drink a little wine, and talk about what are the elements of a group that really is beneficial and can move your writing forward. So I'm going to go around the circle here and have the members introduce themselves. And Bob, let's start with you.
My name is Bob Zahniger. I write short story and poetry, and I've been lucky enough to have a few of them published. And I've been in the group now for about 8, 9, maybe a little bit more years. Yeah. And I really enjoy it, and it's definitely helped to improve my writing.
Susan?
I'm Susan. this is one of two writing groups that I'm in right now.
Slut.
One. And you can tell that I'm leaving this group next week. One writing group concentrates specifically on speculative fiction, which is what I write most of the time. And this writing group meets weekly, so it fills other needs.
Yeah. David.
I am Dave King, and I write fiction and short stories, some of them really short stories. I've been published in two anthologies, the second of which is coming out on January 11th, and I really enjoy this group very, very much, and I think I've learned a lot. I am the junior member. I've only been hanging out with these folks for around 6 months, but I found it very valuable and very helpful.
I'm Stephen Long. I've recently published a novel, There's a Somebody, and I would love to hear your feedback on that, and you can reach me either through the website, stephenwlong.com, or the Facebook page, There's a Somebody. And I'm going to interrupt the flow here for just a minute and say, this program really needs a name, rather than calling it The Show. And so if you will send your ideas either through the Facebook page or the website, we'll have a little bit of a contest. I'll pick a winner and send you an autographed copy of the book. So, Mr. Cheverton.
Richard Cheverton. I'm a writer of fiction, mostly. And I've been in this group now for probably a couple of years and have found it both very useful and highly entertaining.
Mary.
I'm Mary Rash. I've been with the group since 1991, and the longevity, the quality of the attendance has varied a lot. We have managed to bring it to the point where we're all pretty good.
And modest.
And, yes, and terribly modest. I think that the success of this group is primarily because we meet weekly.
Okay, well, that's the purpose of this discussion really is to pinpoint the qualities of a group that a writer should look for to get the most out of it. And I'm going to throw this back to Bob. This was Bob's idea, and you must have some thoughts about what it is that make a group valuable for a writer, and probably things that don't work as well. So why don't you start off?
Well, like many writers, I'm going to take what Mary said and reword it and as if it were my own.
Sure.
So one of the things that I like about
plagiarism.
The group, yes, but I've changed the words, is the level of commitment shown, which some people might say that meeting weekly shows. Because in a lot of groups, you don't have that level of commitment. You've got people who are doing it here and there, and you know, Sometimes you'll get one person showing up. Sometimes you'll get, you know, none. And so the fact that we're all committed to the writing process is the first thing. And the next thing is, I think that different writing groups are good at the different levels of skill that you've got as a writer. I think that initially when people are starting off, what they're looking for really is encouragement. You know, not so much criticism or, you know, how's your story arc going, or is your character being realistic, or is the scene well described. I think people that are starting off to write, they really just want people to say, yes, that's good, it's interesting and whatnot. And if that's where you are, that's fine, because it'll keep you writing. But I think that beyond that, you get into groups that actually help you in your craft of writing. And they do that by telling you what works and what doesn't. And one of the things I really like about this group is that the people here give you constructive criticism. I mean, they will tell you if something is wrong. And that's invaluable in a group, because it's the only way you're going to get it. And so I think that one of the main things here is that we're all honest. And also, we've got a certain level of skill as writers and readers, so that the criticisms that we give are educated. You know, it's not just, well, that doesn't work for me, and you know, it just sits there, or I don't like that. You know, it's something that, well, it doesn't work because of this, or it doesn't work because of that. And so I think that we all really benefit from that. But it is constructive. I mean, everyone here is supportive of the others as writers, and we want the others to improve.
Which is not to say that the criticism is softball.
Oh, yeah, not softball at all.
Definitely not.
And I think...
You're still feeling that sting, are you,
Dave? Well, as the newest member of the group, I actively searched for a group that was going to give me honest criticism, because I hope to be published one day, and I hope to sell millions and millions of copies of books. And if, in order to do that, I need to know what my readers are going to think of the stuff that I write. And the first stop along that way is to join a group and have other informed writers pick apart my stuff too, in a constructive way. And the group that I've fallen into here, the Easy Writers, they do that. They're honest, they're constructive, with their constructive criticism, sometimes a little brutal, but sometimes I need that too.
Brutal and with a smile.
Brutal with a smile. That's well put, Steve.
Yeah. So let me throw this out to everybody. Would you think that there is some benefit to being the junior member, or entering a group where there are writers that can pull you along? Or do you think it's better, Bob, I think you've described, where people are kind of equal? Would you recommend one over the other?
I think it's important that people are at similar skill levels, because if you get really junior members, and we've had that, if they have a really good, strong, raw talent, it's worthwhile, you know, to invest the time as the group. But if it's not one of the writing geniuses, if it's someone who is writing and trying to express themselves, but isn't at that level, you want somebody that's at a similar level to where you are that you're writing.
So while it may be good for that member, for the group as a whole, it sort of drags things down.
Yes.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is that, I mean, we're very selective in who we let into the group.
Sure.
So, and that's part of it.
And you're looking at me.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm honored.
We actually take a vote on who's accepted.
There's an audition process.
And we look at more than just writing talent, because we have to get along as a group in order to make the critiquing part work. We have to respect each other as people as well as writers. And we have had members apply who maybe could write very well, but whose goals were not similar to ours, who just wanted to get that positive feedback from people. And the engagement is not the same. And I think as you're looking for people to associate with in a writing group, you want to make sure you all have a similar goal. In my second group, our goal is to get published. And everyone definitely has that idea. So our dream in that group is that, you know, Ursula Le Guin will say, can I join your group? She will help us all get published. You know, that's the goal. And some other people, some of you listening, your goal may be to just be able to write a story and share it with an audience. So you're going to look for a different kind of person to be in that group with you.
I don't think you can underestimate the necessity of having a benevolent tyrant who, essentially speaking, runs the group. And Mary is a benevolent tyrant of the best kind. I've been in writing groups that were essentially utterly chaotic because nobody was the boss. And one of the things I was given to understand when I signed on with this group was that there are certain rules that will be adhered to, and if you don't adhere to them, you will get your knuckles cracked by Mary Rash's ruler. And it's amazing that Mary almost absolutely never has to wield the ruler, but you know that if you get out of line, and if you violate just a few very simple rules, there's just going to be hell to pay. The most important thing is you keep your mouth shut while other people are criticizing. I can't stress that enough. If you get into a dialogue and every criticism that comes out is countered or explained or contested, then the writing group is going to fall apart overnight. And you can't allow that to happen. You have to just, you sit there and you take it. And you take it because the people who are offering it are your friends, you trust them, and you know that when the shoe is on the other foot, they'll have that same protection.
I kind of object to the word
benevolent
criticism. That's a little harsh because it's critiquing, which somehow to me is a bit softer.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let me address that. I think you're right, Mary, and it goes back to what Bob was saying about honesty. And you used the phrase, actually, this doesn't work for me, which doesn't work for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was given a criteria for critiquing, actually at the Squaw Valley Writers Conference. And they said the way to approach a critique is, let's say you're on the editorial board of some Simon & Schuster, and you have already purchased this work. So it's not a case of, this doesn't work for me, it's yours. You own it, you paid for it, you need to just make it better. And so your critique needs to be aimed at making this work better, not saying, don't give up your day job, or what were you thinking? you need to find a way to improve the work. And I think that's kind of where we're at.
Well, also, you are free to dismiss the critiquing offered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can believe in your own work, good or bad, and you're stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Listen, and if you feel it applies, then use it.
Sure.
And I think that comes out more and more and more as you read your work in front of the group and as you take it, as Chev says, take the criticism coming back. I found oftentimes I'll go home and I'll read the comments scribbled in the margins and I go, I don't necessarily agree with that. So that gives me confidence as a writer to go out and try new things because I'm growing in confidence in my own ability to put the words on the page. And not that I'm rejecting what you're saying, but I'm learning from that too and saying I have some input here. As a confident or a growing confident writer, I have some input too.
Well, more than some, it's your work.
It's my work, yes.
And I've said this in the group, but I think it bears repeating. I have a friend from another critique group. This was in Southern California. My friend was Patty Smiley, who is a successful author. whose work I think is has not been given the due that it should, because it's just terrific. In any event, Patty grew in confidence, and there came a time when she would come to class, and certainly she accepted some of the or acted on some of the suggestions, but often not. And her comment was, "That's a great idea. It's just not this story."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is an artistic expression, and opinion gets into it. You're telling a story, so the story can take a left turn or a right turn or go straight down the path, and that's up to the author.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you have to make that decision on your own. And I certainly did with my book. This has been a real learning experience for me for that very reason. There's a thousand other ways to express something or take the story in a different direction, and you get some of that feedback from the group. You get ideas from the group. What might you do? But at the end of the day, you have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. And I'm finding myself, when I go home and look at those notes in the margin, and a lot of times I will think, as you all are critiquing my work, I'm thinking when you get to a certain passage, yes, I thought that myself, but I'm just going to let it go and see what the rest of the group says. And so that affirmation comes up that what I wrote might be trash in that little section there, and I've got five other people that think that too. So I might just go, yep, they're right, and I need to change that.
You're all
so,
right. Yeah.
But we frequently disagree on the criticisms also. So.
I'm sure, but that makes it fun too.
Could I say something about the mechanics of how the group works? As we've said here tonight, this group, Easy Writers, meets weekly, and we bring our work to the meeting and read it out loud while the other members are reading along and making comments, and then we offer an oral critique on the spot, and the author takes all of that home and does what he or she wants to do with it. In the other writing group I'm in, we meet monthly, and we email each other our works a week ahead of time so that each of us has had an opportunity to read and critique the works before the meeting. Then we get to the meeting, have a nice breakfast, and then, and then we share our critiques. The critiquing element of the group discusses the critiques with the author sitting right there with his or her mouth zipped shut, and then finally the author gets a chance to speak at the end of that. And in both scenarios, the writer goes home with written comments from the other side as well as oral comments. But those are two different approaches to how the group might run, and in my opinion, they both work well. The Easy Writers read it at the session doesn't work as well for long pieces, like a novella or a short story that might be 25 or 30 pages. But it certainly works well for chapters from a novel, for example, or for poems or short stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be gained by reading aloud to a group.
Mm-hmm.
I can't count the number of times when I've been reading along in something that I thought was absolutely brilliant, and as I read it, I realized it was dreck, and I'm stuck reading this stuff.
You too, huh?
So the act of reading, I think, is extremely important. I was also in a group before this in which the reading went out beforehand, and then it was just pure critique. And I never liked that because it didn't really get everybody on the same page in terms of the material very well. And especially for a smaller group, I would really advise that reading out loud, sitting there and putting it out into the space between you and the audience is really important.
We also have a home. We do not take the group to restaurants and et cetera, et cetera. We meet at my house, and that gives us an anchor. We know where we're going.
And it's very good to have a very small chihuahua that is jumping up and down onto people's laps during the meeting. It keeps things at a very low-key level.
nibbling on your ear.
Said that.
Well, let me have one caveat to the writing, or rather to the reading aloud. And I think you're right, Jeff, that you pick up, even if you're by yourself, if you're sitting at your own desk and you want to do sort of a pre-edit, if you read your work out loud, you'll find stuff that you didn't see by just reading the page. Having said that, I was in a group at one point that only read aloud. In other words, the other participating members didn't read along. And the author knows what they want it to sound like, and they know what it should say, and you can mask problems with your voice. And I think that the members reading along with the speaker is helpful, because really when we write something, you're not going to go home with everybody who buys your book and read it to them. They're going to read it on their own. And I think both are helpful.
I agree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
And reading aloud also, you get the flow. I mean, there are a lot of things that you will get reading aloud that just having written it, you don't get. There is a difference.
You mean as the author?
As the author, yeah. Yes.
Well, I think if something is really awkwardly phrased, if you wrote it and you're reading it, again, you stumble over it.
Yeah.
if you trip over your own words, then
go back and do something. But I think you can read it and not catch that. But if you're saying it out loud and your tongue gets all twisted up, then you know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and just to be clear about the way things work, we bring in copies of the work, printed copies for the people to read while we're actually reading it aloud. And that they write their comments on those copies and write their names on it. So also, the group size is 6, which to my mind is pretty optimal.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. David?
I wanted to say something about how we critique each other's work, because I think it's important to know that it's equally important to be able to receive criticism and to give it in a constructive way, too. And this was something new for me when I first joined my first writing group in Portland in 2011. I just jumped into it cold. I had no idea what I was getting involved in. And I learned very quickly, like 3 minutes.
it is quick.
Okay, here's what they're all doing, and I just kind of went with the flow. But I think it's important to know how to receive criticism and how to give it as well in a critiquing way, as Mary said, because it's not, we don't mean to be brutal, and it's not, this is something that I had to work hard on. It isn't a criticism of me personally.
Exactly.
It's a criticism of my writing, which is an extension of me, but still it's a mechanical thing that's in front of
sure.
me. And you're critiquing that, not necessarily a personal attack on me, the person.
Right.
It's important to make the distinction.
And sometimes it is a personal attack. And that's what you have to be careful of in any group of particularly creative people.
Are you speaking, this is a possibility?
It's a possibility. I mean, I've been in writing groups.
Not our writing group.
No, absolutely not.
That's what I meant.
No. But I've been in writing groups.
Darn, Jeff, this is just what you always do.
I've been in writing groups and writing critique situations, and I won't tell you exactly where they were, but it was referenced earlier in this program where destroying a person psychologically seemed to be the game that was being played. Mm. And that to me is just purely destructive. And the best thing I think any author can do when they're in a situation like that is just get up and walk out of the room.
Find another group.
Because it will lock you up for months afterward if you sit there and let these people just pound you down into a pulp.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Another thing that works in our group, we are not required to bring something to read every week because the critiquing is just as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got our six great critiquers here. And that's what makes it work.
Sure. Because you can learn both ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that brings to mind, occasionally someone will come knocking on your critique group door and wanting to come in and have their novel critiqued. And that's all they want. They don't want to participate.
Right.
They don't want to critique other people's work. They don't really even want to think about writing a good novel. They just want to find out, they want a reader for their novel. And in groups I've been in, once we figure out that that's what somebody wants, then we ask them to leave. Because, you, as Mary said, you have to be a full member of the group in order to make the group work. Everyone needs to be interested in helping the other members improve their writing.
Yeah. I was in a group at one point, and if a person came in with a completed work, a long work, it really wasn't allowed. And the reason is the, well, it was Elizabeth George. She said, what happens is you bring the same mistakes week after week. She wanted to watch this thing develop with the corrections in place so that if you're going down the wrong path, you don't have to get to the end and then rewrite the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we haven't done that, and you guys have helped me so much with my book, and I appreciate that. But I think I was pretty close on that. I don't think, you know, I was so far afield. But you can see where that would be. If you get the same criticism every week.
Yeah, and it's a really lengthy
and
work.
And you're reading
a
book.
It's a waste of time.
Sure, so that's that.
I don't think it's necessary. I think, I may be going out on a limb here, but I think a novel in particular is a collection of scenes that can comprise short little stories. So if you bring a scene to be critiqued, you've kind of got a little compact vision of what your skill is or where that level of skill is as a writer that you can then apply to the rest of the book. So what you're saying, Steve, is absolutely true. If you get all the way to the end, you've made all those mistakes, and now you've got a lot of work to go back and correct if you choose to do that.
It depends on what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an ongoing, it's sort of an endemic problem in the work, then it's tough.
I wanted to learn how to craft a novel. And if I had already written a novel, I would have done it wrong. It wouldn't have been crafted. It would have been a crash course in writing, and I wouldn't have learned how to actually craft and put all those pieces together.
Sure.
Like I'm learning with this critique group. I'm learning piece by piece, step by step, how to become a better writer.
A crash and burn course.
It would have been a crash and burn course. Yeah, it's like plow through. Here's my finished novel, and it could have been crap.
I'll tell you, I don't think this is telling something out of school. There's a very successful author, T. Jefferson Parker, and my understanding is that his first couple of novels, the way that he approached that was he just sat down and he just started. And he wrote from the beginning to the end, and then he took that manuscript and put it in a drawer and never looked at it again.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that by working through that, the whole thing, that was the way that in his mind he could structure this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when he started to do a rewrite, I don't know that it was really a rewrite. It was almost starting again, but he had worked out these problems. And so I don't know that you would do it wrong. It might take longer, but it's just writing is rewriting, and that's part of the process.
Well, that's what King does. He writes his first draft and then puts it away for 6 weeks and doesn't look at it. And then he hauls it out and looks at it.
Mm-hmm. The difference between the quality of critiquing in a group like ours and relying on your family to give you an opinion is monumental. Your family may just think you're so wonderful and not have the skill or experience.
They can't see you doing the hand gesture. No, not necessarily so.
And the other thing is, they may not think you're terrific, but they don't want to hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I have to go back to what Bob said, I think our group is absolutely supportive and at the same time absolutely honest. And if we think something doesn't work, we say that. And it's not just that it doesn't work, but here's why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I just have to compliment you, Bob. You're so good at the emotions. Is this emotionally honest? And like Dave, I mean, I've written things, and they may be cleverly worded or a nice turn of phrase, but they don't mean anything because they're not emotionally honest. And you've never let any of us get away with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing is that we all bring different perspectives to the criticisms.
Sure.
And, you know, you're very good about, you know, where does that fit within the story, and, you know, like I said before, with story arcs. You are wonderful in all kinds of ways. And
yes, that's me talking about.
But as the grammar police...
She is
superb.
It's important to have that, too.
But we all bring different perspectives into this, and when we all benefit from having that wealth of perspectives.
Sure.
But it's also why we disagree.
Another point, we don't limit our group to fiction. There is no limit. Whatever you want to write, we'll consider.
Sure. That's true.
Yes, we've looked at ads, letters to the editor.
Sure.
Poetry.
Lots of poetry.
I don't think we've had too much pornography, actually.
Not
but
enough.
But we're working on that.
Well, wait a minute now. Has Susan produced a single story that didn't have things that if you read them aloud in the right intonation?
That's the danger of reading your work.
Couldn't be seen as, you know, 50 Shades of Sci-Fi.
Yours with all
one.
The aliens could be 50 Shades of Green.
That was fun.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think that's about it, unless you have something pithy to add. Well, here we go.
If we have time. I just want to mention some writing groups add a new element or a different element that we don't have, and that's a focus on publishing. We've been through it a little bit lately because Steve has put out his book, There's a Somebody, and we all tried to learn about that process as he learned about that process. But that's another element you can bring into your group. It's figuring out how to help each other get published, find markets, look for agents if you want to go that route, self-publish.
Sure.
We do celebrate when one of us gets published.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Right.
Yeah.